In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I am so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 21. God is on the mountain with Moses. God is revealing the laws to Moses, and we are learning about these special case laws. They are laws of God by which Israel can reason from to settle the various matters of law that come up in a civilization. And what's so interesting about these laws is that they're still relevant today. Now, we may not carry out the same consequences, but it does reveal the character of God and how important it is that true justice be carried out when there are conflicts between individuals. And so where we're picking up today is in Exodus chapter 21, verse 26. It reads, "If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye." Verse 27, "And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth." Now, this passage clearly shows that mistreatment of slaves was intolerable before the Lord. And as we've been talking about this, on your first reading of Exodus, when you see all this discussion on permission of slavery, you start to insert your pre-understanding and bias and start to think that God may be allowing slavery, like the kind of slavery that our country did in the early 1700s or England or Europe. But that's not the case at all. What we're dealing with in this situation is a person becomes impoverished and they have to sell themselves in order to pay a debt. And the purpose of this slavery was to train them to learn how to live on their own, to let them work off their debt so they could reestablish themselves and be autonomous. This was a welfare system. This was a way to rehabilitate individuals. Now, these particular examples, destroying an eye and knocking out a tooth, this could happen literally, but it's also, as we said earlier, passages to reason from. Now, why is an eye and a tooth picked out? Well, the eye represents a major vital organ, and the tooth represents a minor organ, but both are permanent injuries. So from those two principles, if some other major part of the body was permanently injured or another minor part of the body was injured permanently, then we would know how to reason from those. So by putting in this example, we cover all the scenarios. The implication, though, in this particular passage is the master failed to protect his or her servant. By the way, we have no records from the ancient world that had such provisions and protections for slaves. So this would set apart Israel from the rest of the pagan nations as a more compassionate, wise people. So again, you have to read this in its full context to fully understand why the Lord was doing this. Now let's continue on with Exodus chapter 21, verses 28 through 36. We come to a next major section, and it's dealing with criminal negligence. In other words, controlling your property. Let's begin with verse 28. "If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted." Now you're thinking to yourself, whew, I don't have an ox, so I don't have to worry about this law. Not quite so fast. Genesis 9:5. "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man." So what's going on? Why am I quoting the text from the days of Noah as he comes out of the ark? Because this demonstrates the principle is still applied. If an animal kills an individual, God requires blood, a reckoning for that murder of a man, because man was created in God's image. So therefore, the murdering animal would be unclean because of this and therefore could not be eaten. So this is a big deal. Notice that the owner of the ox shall be acquitted because this was a mistake. This was an accident. But what about if it's not an accident? Verse 29. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horns in times past, and it has been known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. Now, do you see the distinction? In the first example, verse 28, it was unintentional. It was accidental. It truly was a tragedy, but it wasn't a possible tragedy to avoid. See, knowledge changes the penalty because the owner in verse 29 is now negligent because the owner knew this ox had this problem. Deliberately failing, God is saying, to protect others makes oneself liable. This is significant, and it's a great way to reason through situations. If it was in your power knowingly to avoid this situation and you did nothing, you're liable. And look at the consequences. The ox shall be stoned and its owner shall be put to death. Wow, what a severe penalty. Now, verse 30 has a few additional insights. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. Whether it is gored a son, gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. So what do we learn here? It turns out that the death penalty could be avoided if a fee has been set and if that fee can be paid. A negotiated settlement is permitted to redeem or buy back the life. No distinction should be made whether a male or female, man or woman, perished. So, now you and I live in a day and age where the wealthy seem to have a few more breaks than the rest of us. And certainly, this verse seems to apply that, but that's not how we need to look at this passage. For a whole family could gather together, take up a collection to spare a mother, a father, etc. from one of these situations. Now let's look at verse 32. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Now at first blush, this may seem like a distinction, and it is partially. The amount was the cost of replacing a slave, but it was also the price Judas received to betray Christ. Joseph was sold for 20 shekels of silver. In fact, Matthew 26:15 says, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So what's going on? Is somehow a servant less valuable than an individual? Absolutely not. It's a way to replace this particular servant. And so the ox is still stoned, and the servant is replaced, and so all matters are settled. And this is hard truth for us to understand this side of the cross in our modern age of 2021. Now, what are some additional thoughts? What does the secular world say about these kind of situations? Let's look at the law of Hammurabi in Numbers 250, 251, and 252. If an ox has tossed a man while walking along the road and caused his death, there is no cause for complaint. 251, if a man has an ox which tosses, and his counsel have informed him that it tosses, and he has not covered its horns, and has not tied the ox up, and the ox tosses a man's son and causes his death, he shall pay a half a shekel. Now, isn't that interesting that the secular world does not cause the full penalty of death? And then 252, if it was a man's slave, he shall give a third of a mana of silver, even less. So the world, the secular world, the pagan nations were clearly not as severe in penalty and therefore showing a lesser value of life. Isn't that interesting that the pagans, though they have the law, understand these things are wrong. There's liability. They devalue the life by devaluing the judgment. Verse 33, and if a man opens a pit or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. So, it's irrelevant as to the excuse, we must make it good. All right? He does not cover it. That's the bottom line. And because he failed or she failed to protect others, there was a loss. Well, the owner is going to have to cover that loss. Liability. Verse 35, if one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. So you can clearly see that if it's an ox, animal to animal, that there's a split 50-50. Now, there's a law called Eshuna 53 that reads, if an ox gores another ox and thus causes its death, the two ox owners shall divide the value of the living ox and the carcass of the dead ox. Now, in this case, the law is identical. Pretty neat. Verse 36, if it was known that the ox tended a thrust in time past and its owner had not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. So, bottom line is negligence has a penalty. And this, again, let me remind you, notice how there is no motive at play here. It's a very simple black and white question. Does this animal have a pattern of acting this way or not? And if it's known to have this pattern, was the owner warned? Did the owner take additional measures so that they would not hurt their neighbor? So this goes back to loving your neighbor. But it turns out this particular owner did know, did not take the necessary steps, and as a result, people were harmed. And therefore, justice must be served. So final thoughts here is that intentional, accidental, and preventable, all three of those, all have just consequences. And this is God's way of showing how important it is that we obey his laws, that we take into account what we do and how that impacts others. When we fail to love others and others become hurt, God needs justice to be served. This prevents sin from spreading. Because we all have seen on the TV and the news and read in articles on the internet, newspapers, how someone got away with murder, or they got off with a technicality, or something along those lines, or the punishment was lightened. We see when justice is not served and how heartbreaking that can be for the family who's the victim. And so God is sensitive to both sides. He clearly takes the side of justice and the side of the victim every single time. And that reveals the kind of God we have that has saved us. So as you think about these laws, they may seem irrelevant because we're 3,500 years later, but the principles are transcendent. We must live in such a way that whatever we do in thought, word, and deed, we are taking into account others, and we are doing our best to love our neighbor by not allowing harm to befall them. May you effort yourself in a Christ-like way to love your neighbor as Christ died in love for us. Well, until we meet again, we'll pick up next time in Exodus chapter 22.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.